Morning, we continue our journey looking at our 2018 ministry theme, which is conversation. I'd remind you that our theme verse that's guiding our thinking is found in your bulletin on the, the back side at the very bottom, Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. I want to invite us to share that verse together. So if you can find that on your bulletin, Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, Lathan read it to us, but I invite us to say it together as a church family. Let your conversations always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer everyone. Our scripture this morning comes from the book of John, the fourth chapter, and it's a conversation. So I've invited Pastor Sarah and Tony to help me share this scripture with you. I invite you to follow along in your Bible if you wish, John chapter 4, and we invite you to hear this conversation. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus himself but his disciples who baptized, he left Judea and started back to Galilee. He had not gone through Samaria, so he came to the Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her,
"Give me a drink."
His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him,
"How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?"
Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her,
"If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water."
The woman said to him,
"Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flock drank from it?"
Jesus said to her,
"Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give them will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life."
The woman said to him,
"Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water."
Jesus said to her,
"Go call your husband and come back."
The woman answered,
"I have no husband."
Jesus said to her,
"You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true."
The woman said to him,
"Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that place where people must worship is in Jerusalem."
Jesus said to her,
"Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such of these to worship him. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth."
The woman said to him,
"I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us."
Jesus said to her,
"I am he, the one who is speaking to you."
Just then the disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking to her?" The woman left her water jar, went back to the city, and she said to her people,
"Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?"
They left the city and were on their way to him. This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts and our minds be pleasing in your sight. You who are our rock and our redeemer, our strength and our salvation. Amen. Last week, I ended with an illustration about a young African-American woman named Zenoa and a white man, a leader of the Ku Klux Klan, named Calvin Craig. You may remember that part of this illustration had to do that this young African-American woman, who was very interested in desegregation and was someone who had been trained and formed by the works of Martin Luther King Jr. and herself knew him and was in a relationship with him. And so, having been formed by him, she was deeply committed to desegregation. She was appointed by the mayor of the city of Atlanta to head up a community effort where communities were sort of working to join together to figure out how to live life with one another. You might remember that the mayor warned her that one of the leaders of these communities would be the man Calvin Craig, the Grand Dragon of the KKK. You may remember that what happened over the course of the next few months of Zenoa and Craig meeting one another was a life-changing conversation. Remember, we talked about how they gathered together and how Calvin Craig would show up in Zenoa's office week after week, day after day, just to have conversation with her. Quite startling that this leader, this Grand Dragon in the KKK, showed up in the office of a young African-American woman. It was those conversations, though, that finally led Craig to denounce his leadership and to leave the Ku Klux Klan. He said and gave credit to this young African-American woman as the one who helped him to see there was a new way. Now, I did some more research on the two of these individuals this week. I had encountered their story in Celeste Headlee's book, We Need to Talk. And so I wanted just to know a little bit more about the two of them. Last week, I wasn't able to say with certainty whether Faith had entered into this conversation and was part of the conversation that this young African-American woman had with this leader in the KKK. But now, after some more research and learning about both of them, I feel certain, friends, that Faith was a part of this conversation. You see, Craig himself was a deacon at his church, and Zenoa found that quite curious and perplexing. And she says that as the two of them gathered together to talk, she used to ask him questions. What parts of the Bible are you reading? Where does it say that you can treat someone differently because they don't look like you? And Craig wasn't offended by her questions because, in fact, he kept coming back day after day after day. And Zenoa was deeply formed in her faith. She was a faithful Christian. And she believed that she was being called to sit and to be present with this man in the midst of these conversations. She believed that her attitudes, her actions, her reaction would help to aid this conversation and allow for a peaceful outcome. She said, I didn't get how he and I could both be formed by the same Jesus the Christ who taught unity, and how we are united by the blood of Christ, and then how he could go out and be the leader in a Klan meeting where unity was only found in one race. And she said, I couldn't understand that, and yet my faith called me to continue on these conversations with Craig. Which brings me to our scripture today, a life-changing conversation. In fact, it's the longest conversation that we find in the Bible between Jesus and a woman at the well, a Samaritan woman nonetheless. And you might remember from your biblical studies that there was zero love lost between the Jewish people and the Samaritan people. When the northern kingdom had fallen to Assyria and many of the Jews were deported into the country of Assyria and they began to marry out in that deportation and began to marry foreigners. And so the Jewish people begin to believe that those who had been deported and had been sent out after the fall of the kingdom had abandoned their Jewish faith, had abandoned who they were as a people, and so they no longer had love for them. Their abandonment was seen as a division and as a dividing line between the Jews and the Samaritans. So here is Jesus, this Jewish man, encountering a Samaritan woman where there was division, Jew and Samaritan. And even more startling was another division. There was a great division in the community, for Jewish men weren't supposed to speak to women. They weren't supposed to speak to Jewish women. Even in public, Jewish men weren't supposed to speak to their wives. So another division, a man and a woman. And still yet another division that we learn in this conversation from Jesus, that this woman, in fact, doesn't have one husband, but she has five husbands. And so it seems we don't know why she has five husbands. Maybe they've all died and she's continued to marry. We don't know. Scripture doesn't tell us, but the assumption has been made throughout biblical interpretation that this woman was quite promiscuous. This woman was a sinner. So here we find another division. Jesus, the one who calls us to go and sin no more, and a sinner, a Samaritan woman. And Jesus enters into a conversation with her. Give me something to drink. What? If you knew who you were talking to, if you knew that I was the outcast, that I was the Samaritan, if you knew this, surely you wouldn't be asking that of me. And they enter into a conversation. These two opposite people. These two people who are quite unlike the other. And out of that conversation, a life is changed. Jesus says to this woman, stop drinking this water. This water only fills you temporarily. It only quenches your thirst for just a moment. Come to me, woman. I will give you living water. Living water that's going to gush up into you and bring you the gift of eternal life. This woman hears these words from Jesus in the midst of her conversation. She leaves her water jar behind. She leaves it there at the well, at Jacob's well. And she goes to her people and she says, I have seen the Messiah. My life has been changed. A life-changing conversation that happened there at the well. The well at Sychar, that if you visit the Holy Land to this day, you can go there and visit the well. You can stand while the monk who oversees the church there where the well is, you can wait patiently while he lets the well descend way down into the ground and bring up for you some cold water. You can drink from that water just as the woman at the well came looking for that water and walked away. With living water that gushed up inside of her and gave her the promise and the assurance of eternal life. This woman came in the middle of the day, hoping that no one would see her, hoping that she could just sneak into the well, grab her water, and leave. Remember, she was the outsider. She's trying her best to go in hiding to the well. And she is met there by the one who says to her, you are my child. I love you. I receive you. And I offer you living water. You think you have gone as far as you possibly can go. And yet, says Jesus, I've stretched my arms out as far as they can be wide, and I embrace you. The woman at the well, a life-changing conversation. Living water, not the water that fills our momentary thirst, but water that causes us to never, ever thirst again. When you and I encounter that living water like the woman at the well, our lives are forever changed. We receive a life-sustaining relationship with Jesus the Christ. Our life is different. It is my prayer that at some point in your life, you have had that kind of conversation with Jesus, where Jesus says it doesn't matter how far you've gone. I love you just the same. And the living water I offer to you. Several years after Calvin Craig's death, his daughter called up Zenora. And she wanted, the daughter of Calvin Craig wanted to have this conversation with Zenora. And so she called her up and the two of them met together. And after exchanging hugs and greetings, they sat down and had a conversation in which Calvin Craig's daughter said to the young African-American woman, "You healed my father." It's a resurrection story of how love can really heal another human being. "I needed to connect with you," she said, "because I needed to tell you that it was your love, that allowed my father to be healed." Zenora said that she had simply tried to emulate what she had learned from Dr. Martin Luther King. And Dr. King had taught her that you have to change a person's heart before you can change their behavior. You have to change a person's heart before you can change their behavior. So this woman took a risk through using the faith in which she had been formed in, day after day, with a conversation with a man who was radically different than she was, who believed pretty much opposite everything she believed about humankind. And she took a chance. She took a daily chance to allow love to blossom and bloom in her life. And through those conversations, another life was changed. May the same be said for each of us. For those of us who found Jesus, who've been drinking from that water that makes sure we never thirst again. For those of us who drink from that living water, may we enter boldly into conversations with other people. People who at times are radically different than we are. And offer to them the opportunity for their lives and their hearts to be changed by God through a relationship that can be found with Jesus the Christ. Celeste Headlee, in that book that says we need to talk, she says that she enters every conversation expecting to be amazed. Expecting to be amazed, expecting to learn something new from the person she is having a conversation with. What if you and I, people of faith, lived every single day, every single moment of our lives, expecting to be amazed. Expecting to be amazed by the conversations we have. Expecting to be amazed at the ways in which God shows up in our lives. That's how lives are changed, through the power of conversations. What if every single day we woke up and expected that God in Christ would continue to change our hearts, continue to amaze us at the work that God is doing? Friends, I have to tell you that I started this Sunday morning off in lots of very different ways, but one of those was with our confirmation class during the Sunday school hour. And we were talking about sin. And I was inviting the confirmation class to decide whether they believed or felt a particular way about a statement. So if they felt that way, they agreed with the particular statement that I shared, they'd stand on one side of the room. If they disagreed or didn't feel strongly about that statement, they would stand on the other. And I didn't go up there expecting to be amazed. And yet I walked away amazed. And here's why. Because one of the statements said, "Do you believe that grace is found in Jesus Christ?" Some of the confirmation class stood over on the side that said that yes, they absolutely believed that grace was found in Jesus Christ. And one confirm man stood on the other side and said, "Well, yes, I believe that. But I also believe that people can give grace too." Yes, I believe that. And I also believe that people can give grace too. I was amazed. My heart was changed. Do you see what could happen if we opened ourselves up to allow God to amaze us and shock us and surprise us every single moment because of the conversations that we have with other people? What if we always expected God to show up? What if we always expected to learn something from the other, even if they are sitting as far away from us as possible? And friends, maybe those of us who sit at opposite ends still know that our thirst is quenched through the living water and through the Jesus the Christ who offers life to all of us. Zenora, Calvin Craig. Jesus, the woman at the well. You, me, each other. Entering into life-changing conversations where we expect God to show up in mighty ways. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.